Welcome. Our intro was not starting, so welcome to Slumber Party. Sorry about that. My name is DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco. You're listening to CGSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the stolen ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh.
Listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree.com/cjsfradio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-2573.
We had to get through that.
Yep, I did. Successfully this time.
But welcome. As we said, this is Slumber Party every Tuesday from 6 to 7. As usual, we do the mix of music and talk. So we'll be talking a little bit later on about pretty good, important topic, I think. But we'll start off with some music as usual. So this first one is by the band The Weather Station, and it's called Airport. This is recently released single, so hope you enjoy.
If you don't want me, say so now. It's not too late. No, it's not a good time to talk this out, but I don't want to wait and fool myself, pressing into the crowd at the airport now. I tell you, you're free. Leave me. Machine guns leaning against the wall. There's not one look on my
everything falls down. Your sunrise is someone's sunset, or maybe it's mine. Are we still laughing? Well, I'm not feeling it anymore, and I know I'm a means to your end, and I won't pretend I'm just fine.
Oh. Imperfection. You put us on?
Hey. Oh.
Hey, guys. Totally not gossiping over here.
No, we never do.
Left 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. We are Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco.
And I'm DJ Star. The song that you just heard was Need to Run by Herbert and Momoko. And before that was It's Lovely, Come On In. And before that was Airport by The Weather Station.
I think that was Ilangani.
Oh.
By Beatrice Deer.
Oh, and yeah, that one I accidentally just closed it on the monitor here. Yeah, we also had that one.
But yeah, we kind of blasted through those songs. But as always, we are heading into our topic for the day. So today we're going to be talking about the concept of kintsugi and embracing imperfection. So this is, well, first off the bat, kintsugi. I'm just going to explain what it is before why I was inspired. But it is the definition of the Japanese art of repairing broken porcelain or pottery with lacquer. So it's like the type of glossy glue, but they dust it with powdered gold or silver or platinum. And so it's like these, you think of like the China bowl, pretty typical, but then it has the cracks in it, but all the cracks are golden or silver, and it's pretty common. And it's, I see it in a lot of modern houses even now.
Yeah, me too.
And it all comes from this, you know, idea of kintsugi, which is more of the philosophy that it treats these cracks in the pottery as something as part of the object's history, and it doesn't disguise that it was broken, but it actually, you know, as I said, is part of the history, and it is highlighted, and it adds value and character to the bowl, because now it looks like something completely different, but still beautiful. So beautiful and broken. So this topic came up because I've been feeling pretty emotional lately. I've been an emotional couple of weeks. I've also been menstruating. So TMI, not TMI.
No,
but,
no, never TMI.
So I've been visiting the past, you know, there's some cracks in my life, as we all have, but some that I've more recently found, and it's made me a little upset, and I'd like to, you know, talk about kintsugi, and this, even just researching this helped me a lot, so I think it's great to get this out here, and tell you all about it as well. So, kintsugi as well. The definition, as I said, is Japanese. So kin means gold and sugi means stitching. So the whole definition means to join with gold. It originated in Japan, but it is also very common in Japan, Korea, and China as of now. And it is traced in history from 16th century Japan. It was actually an art form for the 16th century tea ceremony called wabi-cha, and this was established by Sen Noriku, which this whole tea ceremony was a ritual of the preparation and presentation of matcha tea making. And this art form, the kintsugi, is an action of the wabi-sabi philosophy. So this is a very more popular term. This, it's been on social media, especially this wabi-sabi term of finding beauty in imperfect things. So kintsugi is like a specific, you know, action that we can, that represents this wabi-sabi philosophy.
Yeah, and a little more about that philosophy, because I have also seen it a lot on social media, not known exactly what it means. It kind of just seems like it's being tossed around out there. But yeah, so sabi means focusing on the beauty of aging, fading, rusting, any kind of signs of time that add character and complexity. And I think wabi is the focus on impermanence or imperfection, like DJ Coco was saying, that nothing lasts and nothing in the present is ever perfect. Things are like constantly changing, and they're never going to be changing to be perfect. It's just in a constant form of like life cycling through, and also just moving through life and different people in your life and things like that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all of this as well is all these philosophies, wabi-sabi, kintsugi, these tea ceremonies, they're all influenced by Zen Buddhism, and as well this religion called Shinto, which is Japan's indigenous religion. So this has a lot of nature roots. They believe in spirits as well, called kami spirits. But it's very interesting to see how I feel like everything good in life comes from Buddhism. I don't know. This is just me.
They were onto something.
They are onto something for sure. And I feel like I need to follow this a little more because this has really helped, honestly, just understanding the definition and, you know, the philosophy of what we should learn from.
Yeah, and also just to add a bit more of a dive into Buddhism, wabi-sabi, yeah, originated from Zen Buddhism, specifically the three marks of existence, which I haven't heard of before, but they're basically just the land posts of the human experience, and the three marks of existence are impermanence, suffering or dissatisfaction, which is also linked to the mistaken belief in the permanence of things. And finally, the non-self, so there's no fixed or absolute identity. And this is supposed to describe all phenomena in life, so it seems as if the tea ceremony has built off of this idea of impermanence. And they also have four different principles of harmony, respect, purity, and tranquility. So tranquility is the state of inner peace and calm. Which has to do with, I think, contentment and also just accepting that things are impermanent and being okay with it. And yeah, there's, you know, harmony, respect, purity, tranquility. I think they kind of speak for themselves for the most part.
Mm-hmm. I feel like with the four principles too, then Buddhism, they also have four noble truths. So I feel like that must have had a lot of correlation between these mm-hmm. principles and these truths. And one of the noble truths is regarding that life is suffering, and so there's a lot of commonalities that I see in
this. It's so sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
I think it's so interesting that one of the like essential parts of being alive is suffering according to Buddhism, and yet like there's so many like positive outlooks that they also have in the world, because I think when a lot of people say, oh, life is just full of suffering, it is more associated with depression or some sort of mental health issues. But within Buddhism, it's almost like once you accept that and you don't think that there's anything innately wrong with suffering from time to time, obviously, but not all the time, then you can continue to like grow and be content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, suffering isn't just like, you know, getting hit with a belt or something or war, you know. Okay, sometimes I throw out these crazy examples that I really need to hold back on, but anyways, suffering could be more like, you know, being friends with someone and them moving away. That's a form of suffering, mm-hmm. you know, and they're more hidden and we don't think of them as suffering, but this is just part of life. And yeah, they do address this, and it's great that it is addressed. And so moving forward, this Kintsugi is also a philosophy. Not only is it just the mending of pottery, but it is taken quite to life that we and they are trying to embrace imperfection, just like the wabi-sabi philosophy, as a path of healing. So as in accepting who you are, your flaws as well.
Mm-hmm. And also part of the philosophy is recognizing the beauty that is underneath the surface of what we actually see. I think a lot of the times people take others at face value or, you know, like don't really think about what some things mean, and seeing the beauty underneath the surface, even if it looks broken or it looks ugly in some way, is kind of a life hack to like be happy and be more appreciative. And I think Buddhism in general is very, it like emphasizes accepting and being content with what you have. So accepting the good and bad of life instead of just, you know, expecting your life to be fully good all the time. And the more you accept, the better you'll feel, because you're not holding on to these things that have happened in the past and ruminating on them. Like, why did this happen to me? Why are these things always happening to me? If you just accept that it happened, then you're not as much stuck in the past, and you can just focus on being in the present more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hiding all these flaws and, you know, the wounds and the parts that we're told, you know, with negativity, we're told to just keep it in and don't let it out. But this, it's honestly a part of us. It's part of all of us. And it tells a story, and that we should really, to be healed or to be on this path of healing, that we should accept the fact that this will always be a part of us. We can't just shove it in the corner and say it's not there. But we have to embrace it and try our best to do without judgment or criticism, from ourselves, first of all. And, you know, to just leave the emotional wounds exposed, or just cover them up and say, no, it's fine, it's fine. Mm-hmm. This will just continue your suffering. And so I feel like kintsugi and the philosophy is also a great way to overcome personal trauma, and is something that I believe is a great way of just getting through things.
Yeah, I agree. And just the whole concept of everything is constantly changing. Like, if the pottery was just a full piece before and then it gets broken and it gets mended, like, that is also, you know, a pretty direct representation of how a lot of us go through life. Like, I don't think anyone in the world has not gone through something that feels like, you know, it could be the end of the world or something. And then somehow you just end up keep going. And, you know, depending on how much time passes and how you deal with it, it just kind of does become a part of you. And sometimes it can be like a dark part of you. But I think with this philosophy, it's more you're seeing it as just, you know, just accepting it as a part of you in general and not trying to resist it or push it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you just keep resisting it, the shards of the bowl are still broken. You know, it's still not really usable fully. And there are sharp parts. But if you just glue it up together and you try your best to glue it together, it becomes more beautiful and more functional. Mm-hmm. So, way to wrap that up. And, you know, with all this talk about being imperfect, it's like, oh, why don't we just all be authentic? And why don't we all just be imperfect? But as we can see in our society, like, the world does not prize imperfection, because it prioritizes perfection, having excess of things, you know, youth. It's just, for more specific examples, being young, being beautiful, you know, having so much money, going on so many trips, and being the perfect student, perfect mom, perfect, you know, churchgoer, a person. I'm losing examples here, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And it goes even to the virtual area too, because now you have to be perfect online. And it's terrible. I feel like it's terrible. It's affecting us even more than we think.
Yeah, and that's kind of how, you know, people are kept to be unhappy and unsatisfied, is because, you know, it's the unattainable chase of reaching perfection. And I think especially with the beauty industry, or, yeah, youth is, you know, never going to be achievable for longer than, you know, like, a few years. And it's just, yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this, but it's frustrating, because a lot of the beauty industry, and also just, I think even in work situations, like, you just want to keep getting promoted and promoted to get to the very top, and it's so much focus on being perfect and self-work and being efficient. It's, you know, it's just pretty unattainable, is mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say.
And when you become too perfect, you know, that perfectionist attitude, that when you make a mistake, it's the end of the world. And it's like you chip a tiny part of your bowl and suddenly you think it doesn't work, kind yeah. of thing. And it's like, are you serious? But that's just how, what we've been taught to do, even though, you know, it wasn't meant to be like that. For example, for me, for imperfection, I've always had a big emphasis on, you know, trying to do the best, trying to do everything I can. You know, if I'm a perfect student, if I get great grades, if I get this co-op, if I have all these cool hobbies, you know, and I'm awesome at these hobbies, you know, this will bring me happiness. And as well, someone will love me for this. And I feel like I attach my self-worth based on what I do instead of who I just am. And that's not something that, you know, it's hard to unlearn, but it's good to know, and that's